IPM News, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Tuesday, February 13th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how Northern Illinois school districts are trying to help its new migrant students. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The longtime chief of staff to ex-Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan has been sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. Timothy Mapes was convicted of lying to a grand jury as the corruption probe into Madigan was intensifying. Ultimately, Madigan was indicted. John Seidel covers the federal courts building for the Sun-Times. He says Judge John Ness told Mapes before handing down his sentence that all Mapes had to do was tell the grand jury the truth.
You know, even when the hearing concluded, the judge said that he still didn't really understand why it was that Mapes went into a grand jury with immunity and lied. And he said if it was out of loyalty, it was misguided, gravely misguided.
Meanwhile, Madigan is still awaiting his own trial. The feds allege Madigan led a criminal enterprise to enhance his own power while making money for his allies. Dozens of parents and children packed the Champaign Unit 4 school board meeting last night based on rumors that a beloved principal might be fired. Donna Oviero is a fifth grader at Booker T. Washington STEM Academy. She says Jamie Roundtree is a unique principal.
He's not like regular other ones because he's fun. He makes us feel comfortable there. And if you don't feel like you fit in, he will make you feel like you fit in.
Rumors have been circulating on social media that Roundtree and assistant principal Rebecca Ramey will be demoted or transferred from the school. The changes weren't on yesterday's board agenda. The school district spokesperson said they don't comment on personnel matters, but urged parents to be careful about misinformation on social media. An online petition to fire the Champaign Unit 4 school superintendent has gathered over 500 signatures. But at the Champaign School Board meeting last night, no one asked for the removal of Sheila Boozer. Imani Basil is a longtime racial justice organizer. She says she and previous generations of parents fought for years so someone like Boozer could be hired.
To try to bring real civil rights, real racial justice, real equity and excellence in education. You know, fighting for black educators to have a space in this school district.
Boozer was hired 3 years ago as the first black female superintendent at Unit 4. Those asking for her resignation cite a rumor that she is firing a beloved principal. Again, the school district spokesperson said they don't comment on personnel matters and urged parents to be careful about misinformation on social media. Still to come, we'll learn more about how Northern Illinois school districts are trying to help its new migrant students. That story is next on 217 Today.
From Independent Lens, Breaking the News is a new documentary that tells the story of a scrappy group of women and LGBTQ+ journalists who buck the status quo. They focus on people who have been excluded from mainstream news coverage before they launch The 19th, which is a news startup that combats misinformation and elevates voices often left out of the American story. Breaking the News is available to stream for free with the PBS app starting February 19th. Visit your device's app store now to download the PBS app.
This is 217 Today, I'm Farrah Anderson. Some Northern Illinois school districts are seeing an increase in migrant students over the past few years. One of them is U46 in Elgin, the state's second largest school district. Peter Bedlin reports on how the school district is trying to help their newcomer students.
A small group of students are practicing how to order food in English. This is Larson Middle School's English Club. They meet a few times a week to sharpen their language skills and make new friends. Some even come to keep their Spanish strong after spending all day in English classes.
Andrea Carrera Valdez is a 7th grade English as a second language or ESL teacher.
She's leading them through listening tests after they watch scenes from Beauty and the Beast with subtitles.
We play clips, mainly in English, so they can listen to English too, because in their houses they're just talking in Spanish, so they don't get used to listening to English.
And a latte for me.
What do you think is the answer? Which one?
Emma, 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 Emma.
Carrera Valdez has been seeing more newcomer students over the past few years. That's true for the district as a whole, too. Just this fall, U46 added nearly 700 newcomer students, some of whom come from families seeking asylum in the U.S. They're from countries like Mexico, Venezuela, Colombia, and Guatemala. They also get students from places like India and Ukraine, too. Last year, they had 70 new Ukrainian students. When newcomer students arrive, their first stop is the Family Welcome Center. Brenda Escobedo is the center's coordinator. It's where families can register their kids and where they conduct testing, but families often come to the district with needs that extend beyond what the district can provide, whether it be housing, immigration, or work.
Every new family, they're receiving like a folder with all the resources available in the community because, you know, so they can see it, review everything that applies to them. And sometimes, you know, they're kind of shy and they don't want to share everything that they need, so we prepare like a packet for them, so with all the information in algae.
Throughout the school year, the district has been hosting newcomer parent support group events where parents can ask questions about where they can find their kids' grades, how to connect with school counselors, and receive district communication. They also had food and free winter coats at the last one. At the school level, staff have also formed newcomer groups this year. Marisol Reyna is an English language learner teacher at Larson Middle School. The groups are comprised of the teachers and staff who work with them the most and try to foster a sense of belonging in the building. It helps that 75% of Larson students are Hispanic too.
Last year at the end of the year, we had many newcomers come, you know, the last 2 months of school. So then my brain just started spinning like, we need to do something. We can't just throw them in and say good luck because they come with so much.
She says they usually only have a few days notice that a newcomer's arriving. And because they do come with so much, she says mental health support for newcomer students is crucial.
I wish more people knew about everything that they go through to get here, especially some families that have traveled by foot, you know, from all the way from Panama, and they go through deserts, the forests, you know, all of that. And kids are old enough to remember all of that now. And they come with all of that here, and we expect them to be academically ready.
Some of them have had to leave family and friends behind. Ziamara Gill is a resident administrator, basically an administrator in training at U46. She says it's always a challenge to have enough mental health support. Those positions are difficult for many schools to staff, especially when you need a Spanish-speaking school counselor or school social worker.
Having the personnel, the staff available all the time, that could be a struggle. That's definitely, I think, an area that I would say we could use a little bit more, maybe.
Gil says they've been doing small group counseling to try to provide as much support to the students as possible. She's seen some students, understandably, get emotional reflecting on their journey. They also encourage older newcomers to become leaders to help younger kids. And she says they also come across challenges you might not consider.
We have students who have been interrupted education and they don't have any documents. They don't have any way to prove anything. So it's a limbo that they can.
It's easier for younger students. They can usually just place them with kids in their age group, but they've had 17-year-old high school students in freshman level classes due to a lack of credits. Countries like Venezuela are also on a different school calendar. They finish the school year in November, so when they arrive, it can be hard to know where to place them. And staff also want newcomers to have the opportunity to be normal kids, to make friends, go on field trips, and play sports. Gil remembers a high school student who came last year and just wanted to play volleyball. He asked for a volleyball t-shirt and when the games were going to be. But they weren't sure if his international credits would count, but they advocated with the IHSA and got him the chance to play.
He made it up to the varsity team when he got in. So he was, his face, his demeanor, everything, he was just so happy. He went from wanting just a volleyball t-shirt to being on the varsity team.
At the end of the day, Reyna says to remember that these are just kids, many of whom have been through a lot. And it's important to help them start to address that and find their place in their new school, new community, and new country so they can start to thrive. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 46 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Tony Arnold, Emily Hayes, Kristen Schorsch, and Peter Medlin. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.